We're up to Siman Kuf Tzadik Ches, which is page 202. And, my feeling is just it's always good to stretch oneself a little bit. You know, I haven't finished, I'm embarrassed to say, I've never finished Shas, never finished even Zoyim. So it's like, I think one day at a time. But yes, it's true. It's something one should always try to. Okay. We're now going to be learning Siman Kuf Tzadik Ches, and I want to get into Siman Kuf Tzadik Ches as well. So Siman Kuf Tzadik Ches tells us the following halacha. Three people who ate together. They ate together, now they're ready for benching. And another individual joins, he suddenly shows up, and he never ate anything with them. So now, if he's joining, the fourth individual is joining, when a person is just literally starting now to do the zimun, and he says, if that's what the zimun they are just starting to say now, then, this fourth person now is joining now, he replies with them, and he says, so basically, he joins with them, and he's allowed to join in. He doesn't say the same words exactly. Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot and Beis, "Oy ne'achav baruch, de'ein min aroi sheyeh otom etzel chabur shemizamnin atzmon liten shevach v'yodoy lo yisbach v'yimno mizeh." The reason is that he has to say something because the ein min aroi is not appropriate. Sheyeh otom etzel, that a person should be near chabura. People shemizamnin atzmon, that they are now getting together litein shevach ve'odoyah to praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yisborach. It's inappropriate that he should be just joining them vohim namizeh, and he's just sitting silently on the side. It's not appropriate. People are praising Hashem and you're sitting quietly on the side. It doesn't make sense. Hence, when they're starting the mizuman, you should say boch amavoyich shmoi tomid la'olam voed. Ve'im nechnas kontinu shulchanoch, and if he's joining, is coming in. If they are joining when a person, when they said, then he should merely say, amen. If it's too late to join the initial stage, then all he should say is, amen. He should just say the word, amen. And the reason for that, Mishnah Berurah Sifkot and Daled says, amen. Like any other brachas, she'adam shemia mepi Yisrael, when any person hears a bracha from a yid, he should say, "Shetzoich lanois." He must answer, "Omen achov, omen." After them, the mishnah continues here. Ve'im shama achakach mipiyam ezamik shechaza v'omah boch shechal mishloi. If he only comes later when he says boch shechal mishloi, then "Shetzoich lanois oylapom omen." He should say "Omen" at that point as well. So if he comes later, he should still say "Omen." Kechol ha-brachas, like any brach, shodom shema mepi'acher, v'chazav shema oysa ha-brach mepi'ashenim. So, if you come late, you say omen. Now, this is interesting because it's not really a bracha. Think about the words of mezuman. It's not really a bracha. Nevertheless, if you're coming in when they're doing the zimun already, and it's too late to say brach shachan, you should just say omen, omen, as long as you're joining in and implying, and you're joining in, they're praising Hashem, you should say omen with them. Continues the Rama, v'chein kol ha-brachas, v'chein with any other bracha as well, she'odom shemea, in a person here, a bracha, this is a halacha psuk that we know everywhere, when you hear a bracha, chayev lanos omen, you must say omen. Mishnah Berurah clarifies the maybe obvious points of cotton hay, last word of the page 202. Bechol ha-brachas, with any bracha, bein birkas ha-mitzvahs, whether it is a bracha which is a birkas ha-mitzvahs, when you're hearing a bracha on mitzvah shofar, whether you hear a bracha on mitzvah megillah, when you hear a bracha, any bracha, you say amen afterwards. Vehein ubein birkas hanenin, whether it's a bracha on personal benefit, birkas hanenin, and you hear somebody making a bracha, you should say amen. After that, after hearing the bach. V'im ha'asar, if there's 10 people, let's continue Shulchan Aruch. Ho'im ha'bach, Elokeinu mevoyroch, Shmoy tomid la'olam vo'et. V'adinim ho'yoshom, k'shegomru melechol v'lo'ochalim ho'im. See, if you, they are finished eating now, and you didn't eat with them at all, kach ho'oynach, ha'mevorich v'acha'oynim, you should say that, the addition, or alternatively the omein, depending where you're up to, when, if you didn't eat at all with them, and you're joining them for the zimun. Okay, that having said that, we're ready for Siman Kuf Tzadik Ches, which discusses al mi mezamnin v'al mi en mezamnin. Sim kofta dites discusses who are the people that actually qualify for being a mezuman person. So obviously, three males over bar mitzvah can do zimun. What about women? Will be addressed in the Shulchan Aruch here. What about goyim? What about an oinin? What about an oinin? Somebody who chalila just lost a close relative. And what about children? Can children join for zimun? And can they have their own zimun? All this and more to be discussed in Zimun Kuf Tzadit. Tesim Yitzashem. Al mi mezamnin ve'al mi ein mezamnin. Hashamesh ha'ochal kezayis mezamnin alav. Hashamesh is a waiter. A waiter can join for zimun. What's the reason for that? We're talking about two people who are eating. They washed and they're ready to bench, and they realize, oh, two, that's not good enough. We need to have a third person. And they realize that actually there is a waiter who basically ate a bit, and then he ran off to serve others, and then he ate another bite, and he was everywhere and nowhere. Can he join for zimun, or is he lacking kvias? Shulchan Aruch tells us the shamish, the waiter, despite the fact that it was not sitting kavua, it wasn't established, it wasn't properly sitting with the two, nevertheless, he does join for zimun. And the reason for that is, says the Mishnah Berurah in Seif Katan, Aleph mezamnin alav she'af shelo yikava atzma b'shulchanim ohem, although he didn't fix himself, he didn't establish himself b'shulchan, with a table imohem, with them, so he wasn't really sitting and eating with them. He was just running around. Yes, he did eat, but he didn't really eat with them. She'oichel me'umot, he was eating whilst standing, v'gam, and also hoileich, he goes uvo and comes be'emtza achilosa, in the middle of his meal. He runs around. Ve'ein lo kvius klal, he has no kvius. He's not really settled eating with him at all. Klal imoyim, he's not really sitting there. He just runs around. He chaps a bite and he runs off, and he comes back, he chaps another bite and he keeps on running. Afilo achin, nevertheless, mitzarif, he joins. What's the reason? Shekiven, since shederech achilosoi, the way of his eating, bekach, is like them. Zu hi kviosoi. That is the way, that's his kvias, that's fine. Ma she enkein, unlike Beish Acher with other people, K'moish Kostavnu B'Sim Kuf Tzadi Gimel Tziv Beis Mishneh Berurah. So with regards to waiter, a special, unique halacha, that waiters, that's the way they tend to eat. For a normal person, a person who is just eating whilst running, eat and run style, that's not considered kviz, and he actually won't be able to join for Zemun. Can't join for Zemun. A waiter, however, because that's the derech of a waiter, to just run around and jump around, maybe a little bit similar to children. They're running around. So that is the kvias. That is considered a kvias. And then that is considered the way they eat, and therefore they can join for zimun. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you're right. They're probably, even a weight, they probably is not meant to. Yeah, but that's probably what they do. That's the derech. And when the question, yeah. Yeah, someone could probably argue. Yeah, yeah, I think that's a nice spot. However, what has to be addressed is, what about contemporary waiters? So imagine you're in a restaurant. Okay, let's think about that kind of scenario. Oh, it could be a simcha or a dinner. And there's just two people, for some reason. Just imagine, maybe restaurant is more likely. Two people washed, and they want to have a waiter joining. And the waiter... And the waiter is also like running around and walking around. Would you be able to join the waiter nowadays as well or not?
No.
Yes. Very good. That's right. But the halacha is that a waiter nowadays definitely won't join. Because a waiter there was part of the deal, there was a package deal. We saw that in early halachas as well. That a waiter would be, part of his wage would be to actually eat, to get that part. He had commitments, he had to serve, he had to do his job. But at the same time, that's the way he was paid, by eating the food that was being served. So that was part of this. So therefore, he would wash before the meal and he would bench at the end of the meal, however much possible. But it was, nowadays, the waiter has got no shaykhs whatsoever to the meal. He may have eaten earlier. He may be eating later. But he's not a shaykh at all. He's not connected at all to any extent to the meal. And therefore, he's not, if he's eating, then it's random. It's bank coincidence, as it were. He's not part of the meal at all. And therefore, he won't join. Waiters nowadays do not join. They don't join at all for the... That's what's quoted. They will get a meal, but that's... Yeah. I know they get a meal, but I don't think that they won't eat. They don't eat with. They get a meal because that's what the Balei Simcha, they tend to be generous and tend to give. It's not part of that. You don't have to. It's very nice of Balei Simcha to do that. It's a minute Balei Simcha to do that. But it's not... They're not eating with you. You want to be nice. You want to give them a meal. They're not eating with you. They're eating on the side. They're not eating with you. They're not joining the simcha. It's a generous gesture towards the waiters.
You never see a Jewish waiter anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, there isn't. True. There probably isn't. Yeah, but that will lead to the next seif as to where the next halacha is, where the goy is actually mitzav. Yeah. Okay. Shulchan Aruch seif beis. Kusim bezman hazeh. Kusim were... a nation that the Gemara discusses as to whether they were Geri Arayis or not. They became Gerim because of an... It was actually a nation. It's very interesting. The Pesukim in Novi describe exactly what happened. Fascinating. That there were nations that were brought by the king. It was a forced immigration. A forced immigration into Eretz Yisrael. Goish nation called Kusim. They were forced... A forced immigration. You remind me of Stalin. Stalin did that, right? Stalin did that as well, right? The communists did a lot of that. So they forced emigrated in order just to make I think that the reason was, is they called it a social imbalance kind of thing in Eretz Yisrael. Very wide. I mean, you find that in the times of the Nevi'im, that they didn't want Etzel to be completely purely in the hands of the Eden. He wanted that the Kusim should be moving there, that they should form a part of the society. So they moved in, they made their own villages and their own places in order to create that kind of, that shouldn't just be Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. It shouldn't just be Jews. There should be other nations as well. Sounds like a very familiar kind of thought process. So they moved the Kusim. However, what happened was there was various incidents with the Kusim that led to them, especially lions, they were in danger of lions. As we know, in times of Nevi'im, there was lions in Eretz Yisrael, the northern part, in the higher areas of Eretz Yisrael, there was lions. That's not science fiction. And that wasn't rare at all. There was lions there, and they got threatened by lions. And they then decided to do tshuva and to get close to the Bnei Shel Olam, and the Kusim themselves then became Gerim. And at that point, it actually stopped. The Gerim, when they became Gerim, the lions stopped attacking them. However, as to whether their Gil was a genuine, proper Gil, did it really become proper Gerim, or maybe just because of fear of the lions, that remained a controversy throughout the times of the Gemara. Whether Geri Arayis or genuine Gerim. Did they really believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Was it just... like a kind of a protection of lions, and it wasn't proper geirus really. And that remained a controversy and a mystery for quite a number of years, until eventually it turned out that the Kusim actually still continued in private, and in secret they continued to serve Avodah Zorah. And the geirus certainly wasn't really, they weren't proper geirim at all. And therefore, Lemaisi was paskant, the majority of the Rishonim paskant, the Kusim remained proper over the Avodah Zorah, and although there's a machloikus about him in the Gemara, but Lemaisa we pass, and once it was evident that they served Avodah Zorah, they're considered over the Kechovim. There is interesting that apparently there is still such people around. There are still, I think they have a name. They only believe nowadays, they only believe in Tershe Biksav, not Tershe Balpe. Pardon? They do. They have very, very strange kind of Kuthians.
Karaites.
No, I don't know if Karaites. I don't know if they're Karaites. Pardon? Samaritans could be. Yeah, they bring. They're very. Yeah, so they still exist. There's a number of thousands of them living in Eretz Yisrael. they exist still. So lemaisa the Shulchan Aruch paskens kusi bezman hazeh, a kusi nowadays, hariu ko'ovet kechovim, he's considered an ovet kechovim completely. V'yein mizam nalov, and if he wants to join your zimun, he says, ah, gamani, gamani, you tell him, really sorry, you'll have to find of your own to kind of do zimun. But you can't join our zimun at all. You can't join. So kuti is considered kusi is not considered a yid and is considered an ovid avod zora, and is you can't join him for zimun. Okay, this is interesting. I saw that Abraham Kanevsky, amongst his many sforim that he has written. You know, Abraham Kanevsky is mamash incredible. All the sforim he's written. There's Brises Maseches Kusim Brises, and he wrote a sefer on the Brises, a whole sefer Maseches Kusim. And over there it's called Holachova. Just saw it recently. It's called Holachova as to how we pasken. But we've got on this shaila. But the consensus indeed is that kusim is manaze are considered over the kechovim. Although they do believe in some parts. But Sif Gimel, Am Oretz Gomu Mizan Nolav is manaze. And Am Oretz, a complete Am Oretz, we do zimun with him. Now that leaves us a little bit in a pickle, because an Am Oretz, a complete Am Oretz, don't do zimun with him. So what are we going to do about this? How do you define an Am Oretz? How do you define the Am Oretz? Gomu, bizam nelo bizman hazeh.
I heard from someone, the definition of Am Oretz is someone who knows Tznach
Baal Peh. Okay, the definition to know Tznach Baal Peh. So then we are clearly all Amaratzim Gmurim. Yeah. Right, so there is various definitions in various areas of halacha, and that's the good news. How do we define? Yes, how would you define Am Oretz?
Why did the line stop harassing?
It's a very good question. It's a really good question. It's a really, really good question. I don't have a clear answer on that. If they were not proper gerim, why did the line stop coming? The only suggestion I have, but I didn't find evidence in the Mefarshim on that, is that maybe initially there was a better geiris, and then eventually it wasn't proper game. But it's a good question, very good. If you have a good answer for that, please let me know. Not question is much better than the answer. Okay, so Am Oretz Gomu is mizam nelo bizman hazeh. So what? How do you define Am Oretz? The question is, if an Am Oretz, the question is, can an Am Oretz join a Zimun or not?
I can.
So you wanted, yeah, so. Yeah, so you think that you know. Right. Yeah, okay, good point. Okay, let's define Am Oretz though. Yeah, okay, good. Let's see, you're not far off. Am Oretz Gomu. The Gemara Amrin, Afilo Korah Veshona, Velo Shemesh Tamid Chomim. So, the definition of the Gemara is, Afilo Korah Veshona, even if he learned, and he did Chumish, and he learned Mishnais, Velo Shemesh Tamid Chomim, he was not Meshamesh Tamid Chomim. He didn't serve Tamid Chomim, the Hainu, which means, Leovin, to understand, Tamiya Mishnais, the rationale of the Mishnais, Lehaksho is to ask questions, to referring into answer, Ein mizamnin olav, we don't do zimun on them. L'hochi ka'oma, therefore we say, that afilo Am Oretz Gomu, even if a complete Am Oretz, she'ein bo'e mikro mishno, doesn't know chumish, he doesn't know mishnayis, mizamnin olav bizman hazeh, you can still do zimun nowadays. She'imo you perish him, because if you would push them away, ho you gam heim perish him in atzibu legambre, they would go away off completely. Right, so, this is a very important Mishnah Berurah. We're learning that in principle, an Am Oretz Gomu should not join for Zimun. An Am Oretz Gomu shouldn't join for Zimun. The only reason why we allow an Am Oretz Gomu to join for Zimun is because if we push them away, they're going to go off much further. Consequently, we don't want to push them away too far. We do Zimun with Am Oretz Gomu. How do you define an Am Oretz Gomu? Am Oretz Gomu is defined by somebody who learned Chumash, he knows Chumash, and he knows Mishnais, but we know there's an additional level after Mishnais, and that's to understand, to ask questions on Mishnais, to ask stiras, contradiction, to understand the underlying yesoid of the Mishnais, questions, and to answer them, and to be able to separate and then to compare again, to distinguish and then bring them back together again. And that is really what the Gemara does. Interestingly, the words of the Gemara is what the Mishnah Berurah says is Korah means Chumash, Shona means Mishnayos, and Gemara is Shleshamish Talmidei Chachamim, which literally means to serve Talmidei Chachamim. That is what Gemara is. Shemush Talmidei Chachamim. To serve Talmidei Chachamim, which obviously refers to the Amoraim, to serve, that's what Gemara is referred to. So Amoraim is going with somebody who knows Chumash, who knows Mishnayos, but is not on the level of comprehending and following Gemara, doesn't know much Gemara, that is Nam Oretz Gomor. Nevertheless, we do include them, they're allowed to do Zimun, although it's Nam Oretz Gomor, we still really include them for Zimun, because we are scared if we push them off, then we're going to push them further away, we're going to throw them off the cliff, they're not going to be simple. On the contrary, we embrace them, and we bring them closer, and although they're not Meshamesh Tamid Chomim, they don't know the Gemara, nevertheless, we can do Zimun with them, they are included. So the good news is that the Amoraim Gomor is also included in Zimun. I want to just point out something which I heard from years ago, that the expression of Shemush Talmidei Chachamim is very interesting. That the Gemara is considered Shemush Talmidei Chachamim, which, what does that imply? Gemara is not called Gemara or whatever. The Gemara is called Shemush Talmidei Chachamim. What does that imply? As a name, Gemara is considered Shemush Talmidei Chachamim. What does that imply? What does that show us? Yeah, absolutely. That there is something very intrinsic about Gemara. He comes with a Shemush Talmidei Chachamim. It's something which is part of Shemush Talmidei Chachamim. It has to come from one generation to the next. It's the prototype of Shemush Talmidei Chachamim is something you heard either from your parents or from your rebbes, or and it goes down to the next generation. It has to be Meshamesh Talmidei Chachamim. It's not the kind of thing you just take out the Gemara with an excellent translation and you delve into it. It's not the way Gemara. I mean, it's not the ideal way of learning Gemara. It has to become Shemush Talmidei Chachamim. You make mistake once and you hear the correct way. You get Shemush, you get Hadrach in it, you get guidance in it, and that's the way that really Gemara has to be learned. Which is unlike Korah v'Shana, there you don't need as much. It's not as intrinsic as with regards to Gemara. I think it's really interesting. Another point as well is that if a person really wants to, so that's really we glossed that. Now one more point I want to just carry on, and the Mishnah Berurah discusses now. What about if somebody doesn't keep Torah mitzvahs? What if somebody doesn't keep Torah mitzvahs? We didn't really address this earlier, and I think I may have said a mistake at one point. What if somebody doesn't keep Torah? Can you ask somebody who doesn't keep Torah mitzvahs? Is that intrinsically a problem with regards to Zimun? Yes or no? Somebody doesn't keep Shabbos. Somebody who doesn't keep Kashas. Yes. It's a problem? Yeah, we saw clearly, Spillin says, very correctly, we saw with regards to Aliyah it's a problem. With regards to Minyan it's a problem. So you say that the Chayre should be the same as with regards to Zimun. What's the difference? Torah Shabbat Kedusha. Yeah. Secretly should be better. So now I just want to point something out, that there is a slight difference between areas that you need a minyan, like Kriyas HaTorah and Aliyah, and Tefillah, where you need a minyan. It's a little bit different than Zimun over here. Slight different halachas. Nevertheless, says the Mishnah Berurah, if a person does not keep mitzvahs in the Torah, bedavo, with things, which are well known, public things, everybody knows you have to keep Shabbos, everybody knows you can't have a shop open on Shabbos, everybody knows you don't eat milk and meat together, well known things, kugoin, such as she'enu kirikiyah shema shachis v'avis, he gives another example, somebody doesn't say shema, no in the morning, no in the evening, yesh oimim, some say, shafal pikin mizam nilov, even though it's public, nevertheless, it's Zimun. For that's Mogen Avraham. The opinion of the Mogen Avraham, Shebazeh and Mizamnilov, that with well-known things, Mogen Avraham says, no. If it's well-known things, you can't do Zimun with him. Tabazet, with this, Kevin the Kali Yisrael, Koirin Kiyah Shema, since Kali Yisrael reads Shema, Loich Hashino Likalkula, B'mash Nefarash Asma Miyachidim She'en Koirin. People who are publicly displaying, not keeping mitzvahs, well-known mitzvahs, no. Those you can't do Zimun with. Secretly, or things that are not so well-known, the matter is different. That's what seems to be That seems to be the consensus of many achronim. Kol shken mishu rosha. Somebody is considered a rosha. Ve'oy saveris befa'es, who does well-known mitzvahs very publicly. The enemies I'm loving, you won't join for Zimun. Such as Shabbos would probably be an example for that. Certain mitzvahs put somebody in a category of a rosha. Shabbos is one of them. Avodah Zarah is one of them. In other words, put somebody in a category of a rosha. So halacha lemaaseh, if somebody does publicly aveiros, and somebody does mitzvah in public, mitzvahs that are well known, then the Mishnah Berurah paskens that better not to include him in Zimun. This, however, does go into the conversation. Mishnah Berurah doesn't address this, but according to the contemporary poskim, it will go into the shaila that we've discussed many times earlier with regards to the shaila of Tinuk Shenishba, the well-known Chazanish, and other Mephoshim, and Chazanish was many after him as well, but Chazanish says such a beautiful Nusach in Il-Cheshchit, the Simon Aleph at the end. He speaks that nowadays there are people who have no clue. They were brought up without any understanding, without any knowledge. They just don't know any better. Those people will not go into the category of a Muma. They will not go into the category of Rosha. They won't go into the category of somebody that is being excluded in the country. In the Loshna Chazanish, beautiful, nearly poetic Loshna, but Avoisis Ahava, with ropes of love, we have to include them, and they are certainly not included in this category of Rosha, and Zimun can be done with them according to the majority of the Achorim. The Achorim, but generally, the Achorim agree that they can do Zimun with them. But Avoisis Ahava, we have to just engage them in love, and we have to bring them with all our heart and with our love, we have to bring them back to the beauty of Yiddishkeit. But if they have been exposed to authentic Yiddishkeit and they are not interested, then the halach will be very much, as the Shulchan Aruch says, they don't join for Zimun, however uncomfortable it may be. I must say, it's quite a fascinating, I can't call it a coincidence, it's quite a fascinating point that as if Blinde was starting to bark on Masechus Brachos, Mamash, this very mission that the Mishnah Berurah points out over here, I think it's quite fascinating. It's quite interesting. He speaks about Kiryat Shema, Ba'avos Uve'Shachris, which is very much the first Mishnah Berurah that we decided we're going to be learning Mitzvah Shem. I think it's quite interesting. Quite interesting. It's quite interesting. Okay, just to recap what we covered tonight, we spoke about a few that a person who joins the Zimun, he should add the words, although he didn't eat, he should still join for the words of Zimun because it's inappropriate to be sitting there while people praise Hashem and to be sitting quietly. If you come at the very end, you should just say Amen. And then we moved on and say Al mi mezamnin, v'im enu mezamnin. And we learned that a Shamash does join for Zimun, a Kusi does not join for Zimun, and a Ma'aretz Gomu does join for Zimun. However, if he's a Rasha, then he won't join for Zimun. Another point which I mentioned in Kislam Kuvtzadiches was that a person should always say Amen to any Bracha. And this is what we learned tonight, and we'll carry on at Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow.